Hello everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
And I'm Jack.
And back to the trio of Shadowy Cabal of TV Cream to watch The Five Doctors. Hooray!
Yay!
My favourite popular children's television programme Doctor Who story.
Yeah, I love it, think of it very fondly.
It's phenomenal.
Now, Jack,
yes,
you're a proper Doctor Who fan, fucking apparently.
That's true.
Unlike us. Well, unlike you, more than
I'm the one who's been singled out as not being a proper Doctor Who fan.
Because I am quite cuntish about being a Doctor Who fan.
Well,
I just like Doctor
quite
Who.
Nice about it.
I just like Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's not enough.
And I've liked it like since I was a wee kid.
That's so on the wrong track.
I've watched it since before you were born.
That's also on the wrong track.
Yeah,
I used to have the books and things.
No, wrong. Right. Let's just set up the premise here. Anniversary program. Twentieth anniversary, I think I'm right.
It is indeed the 20th anniversary.
And
yeah.
Jack, give us some background. Proper fucking fan. Oh. So when was it broadcast and why?
So it was broadcast in America first of all on the 23rd of November 1983.
Controversially.
Mm-hmm.
Happens all the time now.
Yeah, we didn't get it until the Friday because it was broadcast as part of Children Need.
Which I had forgotten about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was, when it was originally broadcast, you got a little scrolling pledge thing.
That's right, yeah.
Along the bottom.
Although, I've said, and it may be one of those memory mashup things that that we talk about quite a lot, that is, I'm sure I saw it in more than one part. Because I can't imagine having watched it on Children in Need, because we would never have watched Children in Need.
But wouldn't you have tuned in because it was Doctor Who?
I don't know.
I think it was built as its own thing.
Yeah, then it was rebroadcast in four parts.
I think so, because in 1983, being 8 years old, the concept of having anything to do with controlling the big telly in the living room on hire from DER was so fucking... I mean, it would be like owning and operating a TARDIS. I would have gotten nowhere near the buttons.
Lovely slip-ons. Tell us
why. Well, apparently, the Eye of Orion... is some people think it's the most peaceful place in the universe. Looks like Wales.
Does look like Wales, yeah.
Your Orion is in Wales.
There's the late Charles Kennedy MP. Hanging out. Not Tegan. There you go, there he is. Before he went into Parliament, he was...
Tears! God
bless him.
Now, we've been watching this for a few minutes, and I think there's been already three or four lines that have since gone into Doctor Who lore. Like the TARDIS needing coaxing and persuading.
Yeah.
That we've just seen.
Is that the earliest time?
It's the most tranquil place.
It's sort of anthropomorphised the TARDIS.
No, the TARDIS has always been anthropomorphised, I would say.
Tom used to anthropomorphise.
That's right, you give it a bit of a couple.
Now, who were we meant to think this was? Well, I think we mentioned this is the Master, don't you think?
Well, I suppose so.
Could have been Orion.
What? Now, this
could have been the Black Guardian.
This has baffled me.
Edmund Warwick.
For now over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Was Jeffrey Belden just Badu
well,
Pacto
do you know what?
Or something?
Do you know what? It's weird because I had this strong memory of, even at the time when I would have been about 10 years old.
Oh no, look, Fred Harris!
Hey!
Thinking.
Making the most of the micro!
When I heard that they were going to do The Five Doctors, thinking, oh, they'll get Jeffrey Belden.
Yeah.
And then they didn't.
Who the fuck was Richard?
I think he's very good, actually. I like him.
He was in an episode of Blank 7. That's where producer John Nathan Turner spotted him.
He was also in The Palliser's with... What's his name, the baddie in it?
Barusa?
Aye. Yeah, Philip... Larkin. Philip Thingy.
Yes.
He was also in The Palliser's, so he was in that...
That's not... No, this is the other... That's not the pose he was in where he was...
No.
He was called.
No, that's true.
But
now,
it's an early bit of product placement.
Love
I love all
so
that.
So, like, sit it down with your hand, get the fucking... Get it out from the roulette set you're going to get for Christmas, and yeah, we shall.
Quite a lot of the gubbins in this, coming up later with the floor they have to run across and whatnot.
Here we go.
A big resemblance to the Adventure Game.
I was going to say, I think that little William Arnold looks like the guy from the Adventure Game.
Oh, yeah, the Gronach. Yeah,
and also... Now,
in this scene,
what a man.
By the way,
what a fucking man.
The noise of the intercom is the BBC Micro.
Hey, see, I told you.
There you go.
The one they generated the effects on.
That's the facts that we
know.
Is that a cactus or a mic?
Beep, beep. Spider plant, it's the 80s.
I like his office, it's a good office, actually.
I think there's an interesting
thesis. He's redecorated it.
I think there's an interesting thesis about the use of pictures and walls in UNIT, because particularly in the new series, they seem to love having portrait photographs of all people.
And the weekend one, the Saigon invasion, they had a picture of Heimdall.
Now, a big regret Patrick Troughton had of appearing in The Five Doctors was they didn't curl his hair properly. Which was resolved when he returned in The Two Doctors, because he remembered.
I controversially, I like The Two Doctors.
Yeah, I think it's very good.
The Brigadier. I think quite disgraceful that they didn't at least give him a showing in person in the Return series.
Longest
running companion.
Yeah. He turned up in Sarah Jane, didn't he?
He did. He was quite badly ill using it. This is a line that's used all the fucking time now.
Which bit?
Here it comes.
Oh yes, you had the special decorated him, do you?
Don't like it. I think Tennant and Capaldi and Smith have all used that one.
Yes, have they? I think this is true. Yeah.
Now, here is coming up the inspiration for the badly running Second Doctor in the trailer for The Name of the Doctor.
The Name of the Doctor. Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Here he comes.
Yeah, they lifted a lot of sequences from The Five Doctors.
He's a wee fella on the right there, isn't he? He's very cheery looking, but he's a wee fella.
The Doctor Who?
Fuck off. It is a great coat, though, isn't it?
It is a beautiful coat.
My son's nagging me to get The Web of Fear. He's desperate to see it.
It's good.
Yeah.
Omega!
Oh, I loved Omega. Omega was a big villain for me when
Terrible
I was a kid.
Terrible Zodin. See? Still never really been resolved as to who the Terrible Zodin was.
That's a sort of giant Rat of Sumatra thing, isn't it?
Pretty much.
However, Omega, great in The Three Doctors, shit in Ark of Infinity.
Yes, absolutely shit in Ark of Infinity. Slightly drizzly there. Now, what about this makes him bend it a little time? So how is he bending the laws of time more so than in other stories?
This is clearly someone like Wood Norton, isn't it?
That's an old...
Looks like really develop Sarah micro in the background there. Like.
Looks like Sarah.
Yeah.
There we are.
Or what Sarah
running.
Should like.
Yeah.
They're running. So yeah, they used a lot of footage from The Five Doctors in Name of the Doctor because essentially it was of decent enough film quality. There we are.
Yeah.
That's a good run though.
Yeah, but it's a bad
fantastic sound effect.
Yes. Had these scenes to come out too, do you think?
Possibly.
Oh, possibly.
Another famous line there. Great chunks of my past. Fantastic. This is definitely the most quotable Doctor Who story I've ever
watched. Oh, I think so.
Phenomenal.
Shitty
trees in the background there.
Maybe because, unlike... Was it proper fan? Was it the only Doctor Who story that was a self-contained one-off story?
What do you mean?
In the classic series.
What do you mean?
Well, it wasn't in parts. It was just shown all in one.
Well, there was a story called Mission to the Unknown, which is a one-parter, but it was the sort of... kind of teaser for The Dark's Master Plan, but that was one episode and featured none of the regular cast.
There you go.
Jumping Jehoshaphat!
Jehoshaphat!
Great balls of fire!
Did he really ever say shit like that?
No, he didn't.
Arrant nonsense, he said a lot.
He says that at the end of this.
You know, that's really funny. I was watching this with my son and he said to me, did he have a lisp? You could say that.
He had a little lisp.
I like the way you outrun something, so you think...
I think you see, don't get it from the subtitles. Good old Bethany.
Good old Bethany.
How old was he by around then?
Oh, he was 19 between. When he made this.
Well, I think he was born in the 1920s, wasn't he?
He's arguably not in it enough.
He's a man of 1,000 fans.
Well, I mean, this is always a problem of...
He was famous for it, wasn't he?
This is a problem of multi-doctor stories, isn't it? How do you dish it out amongst the cast?
Anyway, the point I was making...
And John Pertwee took care of that. Yeah.
The point I was making there, I was going to make was...
I shot that.
Is it most quotable? Because it's one story. So everybody watched it all in one. And it's not like four parts.
Oh, I see.
Where, you know, good lines might be spread out across all of them. Or in the Happiness Patrol, none of them.
Yeah. Well, I think perhaps it's more to do with the fact that Terence Dix, who wrote this, just had a really... He sort of understood Doctor Who in his bones, and he knew he was writing a story that was meant to be reflective of the series as a whole, I think. There's just so many lines about Doctor Who.
Tell me, as a big fan, as a proper fan...
Proper fan.
Did Terence Dix, did he understand it in his bones to quite the extent that you do?
I think it's interesting because I think the answer to that is no, but to the benefit of the series. Because I think you could argue that people like Terrence Sticks.
Sorry, fucking asked.
Yeah, well, you fucking did ask. So well, as a sit back and listen.
But as a proper fan, you should hate Terrence Sticks.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Except if you meet another proper fan who says they don't like them, in which case you have to love them.
No, that's not how it works.
Or at least look over their shoulder while you're talking to them to try and find a better fan to talk to.
No, that's not how. Because people like Terrence Sticks.
Oh, look.
Right, Doctor.
Here's
who,
a technology joke.
Right, Doctor. Right,
they write Doctor Who in a
He's
way.
He's trying to get out laughing.
Listen, you asked me the freaking question, so I'm going to give you the answer.
That doesn't necessarily mean you look safe.
Nice text font.
Nice font.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we are. Touch a shadow.
Shadow. Nice stretch.
Right, go on with it.
So,
for
people
sake.
Like Terrence Dicks wrote Doctor Who in a way where they knew all about the series, but they weren't fans, you see. So, right. Actually, in a way, that is a state that true fans probably secretly would like to be able to attain.
Clear play.
Thank you.
So, there we are. And the notion of being a true fan is very troubling anyway.
Yeah, we're fucking right, it is.
You're troubling me.
This is one of my favourite lines when he comes out. Because get the teeth out and you go, oh yeah, there's no limit to Isaac's genius.
Written by Douglas Adams.
Yeah.
Sequence from Shardy.
That's why it's all set in Cambridge, obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot of the stuff for Shardy.
You know what he is?
Shardy!
You know what he is?
Shardy!
He's a smooth operator.
Quite a lot of the stuff from Shardy ended up in his novel Duck Gently's Solicit Detective Agency, didn't it?
Yeah. Quite a lot of the characters.
That's King's College, M.R. James's.
He'd have had to have fucking polished up Shardy before it got to a Duck Gently, because Shardy's a pile of wank.
This is a nice little scene there.
Yeah, but the story and all that.
It was a clever decision to use footage from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except for the bit we'll point out at the end, where he suddenly gets released
in different costume
from the time scoop, and then just does a wee punch there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And is in different costume.
Well, he's also in a different place.
He's beside a car park.
I was going to say he's up an alley, but I mean they could have filmed him any time. Doing that.
So on his way to the book
tower. Fruity hat.
He's a very pretty hat.
She's now Mrs. Richard Dawkins.
She is.
Poor woman.
Yeah.
Imagine.
And she actually was married to Tom.
She was, absolutely.
Different costumes.
Yeah.
That's a
bit of a dropping man, I tell you.
They also lifted Romana in the time scoop there.
They did, yeah.
But she doesn't feature even in the. Now, of course, the sound effect for the time scoop being.
Yes, there we are.
There you go.
Oh, they've gone wibbly wobbly.
They are actually in the book tower.
Press the reset button.
Oh, look, he's raging. What do you see? That's
a control alt
delete.
I think that's a really nice row of houses that it always strikes me as a nice place to
live.
Yeah,
it looks like a nice place.
Because it's nice, they're not too big. They're in a row. They'd be just off the road a bit, but there's a bus stop at the bottom of the garden. You kind of get much
better.
Is that
the last Plastic Max scene on primetime telly?
Possibly. Liz Sladen was never the most convincing runner, was she? Bless her heart.
She's not very fucking convincing runner.
She's more fucking convincing than Susan when she does a fall later on in a fucking.
No, it's not that falls.
This was the introduction of a.
Liz Sladen.
This story introduced a new TARDIS set as well, just so you know.
The floor looks a bit studio floor.
It does.
Look,
can you see the little marks there?
Yeah.
Oh,
for their positions. Do you think Tullo smelled? Because he did seem to just wear that same.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant did he have a sense of smell?
How does he smell? No, I always got the impression that he probably did have a bit of a whiff about it.
But the Doctor wears the same clothes all the time.
But I can imagine the Doctor somehow.
Some cracking if it were that.
But I wonder what the Doctor smells of.
Depends which Doctor you're talking about.
Yeah.
So who would be the smelliest of the Doctors, apart from Sylvester McCoy?
Pertwee
probably smelled quite funky.
I'd imagine.
I think Troughton was probably quite honking.
You get quite a lot of trapped sweat in all those
legs. Sorry about that. When you get a lot of that.
Yeah, of course, the obvious answer is Colin Baker. He would be the smelliest of the Doctors.
Not at all. Baker smell lovely.
A bit sort of grainy?
No, I think he'd smell of baking and rose hips.
Man, I think he'd sound well like that now. Get in touch, Colin. Let us know what you smell like.
Yeah.
We could rank the Doctors by smell, but I don't think Colin would appreciate that.
Colin Baker is one of the great men.
He is.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Worrying.
So what was her name again, apart from Tegan? Who was the
Janet
actress?
Fielding.
That's right. Whatever happened to her?
She became an agent.
Mm.
Oh, really? Yeah.
You know what I'd like to believe? Where there's somebody clever enough in the production team of Doctors who would, whenever there's a court scene, have Colin Baker as the judge. So you could imagine that it's the same court that was always in the bill when he was always the judge.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep it in the same universe.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Look, we're
in the
Habitat Gallifrey. With Philip Luckin.
Not Hawthorne, Havers. She was his mum in Don't Wait Up, wasn't she?
Yes, absolutely, right. Dinah Sheehan.
Yeah, Dinah
Sheehan. It is a terrible set, actually.
And it's Philip, is it Latham, Latham?
Philip Latham.
Latham, that's it.
Yeah, that's him. That's the name we were struggling with, everyone. There he is.
Great face, didn't he?
He does have a lovely face.
No, it has to be said, he is at least much better than his costume. He actually is really good in this.
He is very good, yeah.
Look at this. Look at this calculator acting.
And this is Paul Jericho, is that right?
Don't know.
I don't know, mate. You're the proper fan.
Yeah, it's Paul Jericho.
It is an awful set.
Here we go. Hey. Hey. Up to one of the best lines in this.
He has the best line in the whole thing. Yeah. Well, actually, I think there's a better line
he
later
phenomenal.
On.
That's the Master's best costume as well.
Oh, it's fucking great.
Don't we think? Lovely.
Everything about him is great.
And he sounds like a great guy as well. You read about him. He loved playing
the
Master.
Here we go. Oh, sorry.
I may be cheated. Actually, apparently Antonioni was very, very difficult to deal with.
Really?
Yeah.
Is
and
not...
Doctor Who magazine, for example, never ran interviews with him because he was just so difficult.
Well, what I heard about him,
allegedly,
was that he had a private income, didn't he? He was quite wealthy, and therefore he was quite happy just to do the Master and nothing else.
This is right,
because he really loved him.
Yeah.
He loved the gig.
He did.
He's in You Only Live Twice.
Yeah. He is.
Here
we go. It's juice time. Get in touch, Mr. Barr.
Now.
Every time.
Now, there's several great things about this scene. Which is, for example, the recall button, which is a pillbox. And the great seal of Gallifrey, which is a brooch.
Aye. Isn't the recall button actually a yo-yo?
It looks like a pillbox, like those things you get, like you buy your grand when you're in the Tower of London on holiday or something.
This is a very iconic looking scene. I seem to remember they perhaps trailed this on Blue Peter. I certainly remember
seeing
this.
Yeah, well, Hundle and Davison were on Blue Peter.
Yeah. And they were doing a bit of shtick, weren't they?
Where this
they
is another one of my favourite lines.
Phenomenal.
He's looking straight at him. Surely you're chosen! But you're fucking 2 feet away from her.
You
want her to say, who the fuck are you?
Lovely shot as well.
I was told it was going to be Jeffrey Belden.
Now, this story was directed by Peter Moffat, who many people consider not one of the great Doctor Who directors. But actually, I think he does a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And this is a beautiful shot. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I like that.
Very iconic.
Here's another great line coming up. When I should run. When I should drop.
Yeah,
run.
That's good, isn't it?
That's a fucking great line. Not as great as the bit where he eats a square spring roll later on.
Square spring roll.
It's a nice looking Dalek, that.
It is a beautiful Dalek. Quite nice manoeuvring around the corner.
Looks like he's been in the wars a bit.
Yeah,
you think that's that tall, skinny guy with the mad hair?
Who?
That guy, the Dalek operator. What's his name?
The tall...
the mad hair.
Oh, yes.
Come on, proper fan.
Yeah. You fucking failed, haven't
Martin
you?
Martin Scott.
You're just saying what's
Look at this table and chairs. They're straight out of MFI, aren't they?
And also, it's a part.
The Gallifrey
collection. They've constructed
that's
table.
That's what G-Plan stands for.
And that table's constructed out little units. So, obviously, if they have little breakouts, they could have a smaller version.
Yeah,
it's good to see.
A doctor without the cosmos.
Cosmos without the doctor.
So, is it not the case that, like, all through the 80s, JNT was constantly telling them to... Ham it up more, darling.
I think that was his view of the role of the Master. In fact, that was arguably his view of the series as a whole, is that it should be camper and hammed up. But I think the thing is that... what's interesting about...
I like that line.
What's interesting about the Five Doctors, though, is that actually everyone does seem to
get it.
Get it, yeah. Absolutely.
Peter Davison would get it.
Get me into the zone.
Can you get me into the zone?
I love the way he says this. We have a purpose. I'm trying to drive back here.
It's right over
there. And I love his reaction. Oh,
he's really taking the piss, isn't he? All right, okay.
And expendable. Disposable.
Fuck. They're having a game.
So there we are. Look.
Yeah,
look,
Jack, you're just seeing all
table.
The lines now.
Look
it's
segmented
great.
Table. Fantastic, isn't it?
It doesn't look like the control room of the universe, does it?
No.
To be fair. But also, to be fair, neither does the Panopticon and Deadly Assassin.
No, that's true.
Which looks fucking terrible as well.
Well, I mean, Doctor Who fans absolutely hated Deadly Assassin when it was first aired.
I like
they
it.
Felt
I
like
it,
they felt like it undermined the whole mystique of Gallifrey by turning it into
I like the Invasion of Time as well.
Version of the parallax beam.
Is the Invasion of Time not where the clip of Tom Baker in the trail for Name of the Doctor comes from? When he's walking down the corridor.
Yes.
I thank you. Yes. So called fucking proper fun.
Even the sonic screwdriver went.
So was the little 7 or 8 year old wee baldy specky Jack watching this going, oh, they've got this wrong?
No, not at all. No. And
was he just saying, I'm not having this?
No, not
who
at all.
Who the fuck is Richard Hundle?
Do you know, I think I have a recollection of missing the beginning of this.
Oh,
I think I think I was out doing something and forgot it was on. And I think I also watched it upstairs on the black and white. Rather than on the
lightweight.
What is your recollection, Craig, of watching this first?
I was in first year high school when this was on, and I was so excited about it, dead excited, and I remember taping it and having it on video,
mm-hmm.
and watching it over and over and over again.
You had a video?
Mm.
Yeah, we had a video. We got our video on the
1983.
Yeah.
Wow.
We got our video on Wednesday, the 23rd of December, 1981.
Fucking hell. We were detached. We must be the only person in Britain that had one apart from you.
It cost 500 quid.
Was it a top loader?
Me.
No, it was a front loader.
Was it VHS?
Really
what?
It was a Sharp VHS. Right. Okay.
A Sharp VHS front loading video
time.
In 1981?
Yeah. Iconic moment there inside of Dalek.
Who did you rob that off?
Well, like, this is the thing. This is where people get all this wrong. You see, when people talk about Council House telly and all that shit, they're getting it entirely wrong because fucking Council Houses have the best tellies and the best, the whole package. And so when my parents committed to getting a video, which I'd been going on about for some time.
Wow.
My dad bought it on the 23rd of December,
mm-hmm.
which is the worst time of the year to get a video because they instantly went out and rented two films a night. So while you were enjoying the Christmas Eve, I was watching Magnum Force.
Yeah.
Or Enter the Dragon.
This is great. Now, I think...
Or the fucking Deer Hunter. Happy Christmas!
I think the Brig and the Trouton scenes are the best in this.
Mm.
Closely followed perhaps by Petrie. But I think their stuff is the best.
Yeah, they're having a good time,
but it was an odd combination, wasn't it, to have the Brigadier and the Second Doctor?
Yeah.
And on paper, it really should be.
Yeah, it really should be. Yeah.
But that was all a consequence of Tom Baker.
I love this. It's just somebody gently grasping his camel coat.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck!
I'm coming!
Now get
I'm
a stone
coming.
And lightly tap that hand, and then you hear... I like the
noise. Here we go. Here's the fall.
Yeah, here we are.
Not the
bathroom. Oh, no, I'm not. I was
there
talking
is a Susan,
about
there
fall.
Is a Susan
meant,
fall later on.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the fall where she just goes...
Sorry, mate. Sorry.
She does. Here we
when
go.
I say this is the fall, I don't mean the Manchester ones.
Here we are.
There he goes. Oh!
What did she fall over?
None.
And then she literally rolls about 10 feet.
Probably her bitterness. But
well, she had her head. I know
but
that.
It's why... Now, look at where she's just fallen. Look at where she is. It's the idea she needs a lift from a rope attached to a car. She would panic for a moment. She didn't think that's what he was going to do with it.
Oh, not again.
Now, there's a bit of...
I'm not Katie.
Oh.
Now, there's a bit...
I'm up for it, darling.
There is a continuity mystery coming up here in just a moment.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So go on.
I'll point it out when it happens. Just cueing you in. So we need to wait until Sarah's dragged to the top.
So back to your question. I was very excited about seeing this. I watched it constantly. I talked about it a lot. And everyone else at my rugger playing school looked at me blankly, and I never had a girlfriend in secondary school.
So were your mates?
I was quite happy.
Were your mates watching? Actually, the 18 probably wasn't on at this point,
something wouldn't be on a Friday night in November, right?
83, no.
But at school, my recollection is either like the 18 or Doctor Who. You see?
Oh, really?
No. So if we watch here,
well, you see, I like both, so that made me. I wasn't proper fan.
No,
not
proper if fan, you watch this exchange,
hello, Clevigin.
He shortly makes a reference to his future incarnation.
Yes, I noticed that when I was watching it with my son.
Strange, remember?
That's right.
Yeah, how would he know that?
How does he know that?
Yeah.
Now the explanation is because she mimes it.
Sorry,
she's miming.
She
it
mimes it.
The
yeah, but that could just mean. He's got impetigo and he's bald. Now, the other thing is...
Look at
his like, oh, this, remind me to point out something else about Sarah Jane and her doctor, where they get the number of incarnations wrong.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
So here we go. Here comes Aloy
can
again.
I just say, sorry, that's a very clean robe as well.
Yeah. Well, it's a Time Lord robe.
It's a dogging one.
Here nice. We go.
That's a beautiful shot.
See, the, here's another great thing. He seems to need things pointed out to him despite the fact they are clearly right in front of him. Mind the Burberry jacket, you're dirty.
He's getting a good feel out of there, isn't he? Yeah. She was in. She was looking really well by then, wasn't
now,
she?
Yeah, Carolyn was aged phenomenally well.
Look, come and see. What? It's right fucking there!
Oh, right enough.
Goodness me!
I thought it was just a phone TARDIS.
Now you can imagine the TARDIS as he walks going, who the fuck's that?
He's not getting in.
Who's the fucking robber trying to get in dressed up like my old man?
Some guy from a fucking convention. It'll Charles be that knob of Jack Kibble White turning up dressed up as a doctor.
In they come.
Now I watched this...
Angel Belly's got there, isn't it?
I watched this when it first but I think I watched it out as if it was repeated as a serial. I think that's when I saw it. I think it might only have been in a couple of parts.
So of the three of us, me being the lesser fan, is the only one that remembers watching it when it went out.
No, I remember watching it. I remember it going out.
Nah, you're changing your story every 2 minutes.
I wouldn't have got the opportunity. We certainly, because if it was on Children's Eat, we most certainly wouldn't have got to see it. However, when I became a student in 1992. And there was a bit of a gap before I got my first grant. Mm-hmm. You young cunts used to get grants.
Hey.
I got my grant check and I went to the Virgin Megastore in Union Street and it was the first thing that I bought.
Good man.
With that and a Pepe Le Pew video.
Good man, yeah.
I took the Pepe Le Pew video back after I watched it.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's a bit cheeky.
Right.
It's going to get you
right. To say this shit I wrote. I do remember the first Doctor being particularly sexist.
No, I suppose not.
I remember him being an old bastard. Yeah,
it is an
racist
odd,
and probably anti-Semitic.
Yeah. It is an odd inversion that he played, of the four Doctors that are in this, the five Doctors, sorry, mm-hmm. That's why it's called that, mm-hmm. He plays them as the sort of oldest and wisest, yeah. And the one with the most experience.
And he's old, isn't he?
And actually, right, yeah, mm. He's a bairn.
But... I think what's meant to be conveyed is that he stayed with the one regeneration the longest.
Okay.
And is therefore nice rather much more wisdom.
There,
because in the three Doctors, when Pertwee and there's one of my brooches Sailor from my table.
Nice little bit of
it's either, oh, either that or it's a coaster from Liberace's house. The
give
other,
that a good clean before you hand it over.
In the three Doctors, he... When
he goes a yo-yo.
When Hartnell appears on screen, only on screen, because he was too either old, sick, or coke-addled to actually appear in front of everybody.
Is he a man for the cocaine? Is that what you're saying?
I don't like to comment. Troughton says, because I've always paid a huge amount of attention to his advice, I've always put a lot of store in the advice, or that is to say, he makes a reference to the First Doctor.
No.
As if, you know, he considers him a sage and all this sort of thing. But you think, well, you'd never have met.
No.
This would literally be the first time you've ever seen him.
Yeah.
True.
Unless they meet... unless they meet in stories we don't see.
Well, there is a whole theory
maybe
around...
they have a Christmas party.
There is a whole theory around Troughton's Doctor, which is that there is a unseen Season 6B, which is after he was caught by the Time Lords at the end of the War Games.
Uh-huh.
And that's to explain the fact that he seems to recognise his future incarnations.
Oh, because
and in
the
two Doctors, he's also on a mission for the Time Lords.
Yeah.
So the theory is that before he was banished to Earth, he and Jamie were sent off in the TARDIS to conduct some missions for the Time Lords.
Oh, right. Oh, I can see that.
Which would explain
which
why he...
Which led to Outlander.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which led to Outlander. Yeah. Well, yes, it did,
now,
didn't it?
All of this... See this little exposition in the... it could have been really clunking and all that, but actually it's quite nice.
Hmm.
Him and the Brig. Brig was just fucking great.
He was, wasn't he? All respect to Nicholas Courtney. Yeah, he was fantastic. Absolutely magnificent.
Oh, he was some guy. And actually, it gets to the point, especially with things like Battlefield, which I fucking hate, where you just wish it was the Brig.
Now, what happened?
This is my
this is my
other favourite line. Oh, no, no, it's a wee bit later on. Sorry, when he says these.
I like the way someone went to the bother of saying, do you know what, let's get the fruit bowl out.
That's nice, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the TARDIS has done it. You just press a button. Jabrain! That's a football. Mm. And square spring rolls.
Square spring rolls.
Turnbull doesn't do very much.
No, Turnbull didn't ever really do much.
Do you like the look straws? Look at those. You used to get them in Fraser's on the fourth floor in the Holmes apartment.
Did you see the external
straws? The straw going round from the bottom of the cup.
I was always told they're very unhygienic.
You couldn't clean them properly.
Well, maybe in your house because you have a bunch of dirty buggers. But
was that what they said to you when you said, Dad, can I have one of them? And they said, no, they're very unhygienic.
Very unhygienic. It's a dad answer.
That's BBC micrographic sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what constitutes a Doctor Who fan then, do we think?
Well, you're a prick, so...
Yeah. I'm said to you at the beginning... Right, okay.
Well, don't ask us!
You're the one that brought this up a few weeks ago that we were not proper... well, specifically, I was not a proper fan.
No, neither of you are proper fans.
But it was just a surprise to him.
Right, I see. Yeah. Chris understands that, but you weren't aware of that.
Well, this is the shop. However, you dragged me in now to your twisted worldview because my son, who's 11, started a conversation with me just yesterday in which he said, do you know why the Doctor didn't use his TARDIS very much when he was the third Doctor? And I got quite narked with him.
Why?
Because he was banished to Earth by the Time Lords.
But why were you not with your
Because
son?
He was trying to tell me what was going on.
Oh, I see.
I said, of course I know that.
I see. So he thought he was going to tell you something.
He said it with the cadence of...
sorry.
Do you know why? Yeah, he was talking in a knowing way. And I turned on him. I didn't hit him or anything. Yeah. Let's get that clear. But I just said to him, of course I know that. I've been watching it since before I even met anyone involved with you, you little... you know, something like that. I got really narky with him. Yeah. And then I thought, this is Jack Kibble-White's doing this
what to me.
But I don't think it's a good thing.
I know it's not a good thing. I'm worried about it now.
Yeah. I'm not saying...
Well, you don't have to be worried.
I'm not saying that holding the view that other people aren't... There we go. Two fans is good.
That doesn't screech. Those brakes are screeching. Yeah.
Also, he was further past than that.
I fucking love this whole bit.
Isn't that a beautiful
shot? Look at that hair.
Now, what's a great shot, and almost, I think, my favourite shot of this story, is when he's running away with the lightning bolts firing at him.
Mm.
I fucking love that.
The shape of the cape and
the... And he's running the cape.
Jehoshaphat.
And he's really going for it.
Yeah.
I
was great, Anthony.
Do
you prefer him to Roger Delgado?
Best in me.
No, they're two... It's a bit like, say, preferring one Doctor to another.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, they're totally different.
Yeah.
Apart from Tippex for Teeth Master, who can fuck off.
Tippex, yeah.
Sorry. Who's Tippex for Teeth Master?
What's his name again?
Are you talking about from Deadly Assassin?
Beaver?
Peter Pratt.
Pratt, yeah.
Oh, but he's just a sort of spaghetti face.
Jeffrey Beaver's in Keeper Trap.
And of course, John Sim.
Oh, he can just... I tried to forget about that.
Yeah.
Fucking travesty.
Did we like Derek Jacobi, though?
Oh, yes, phenomenal.
And the moment of him finding out, that was all phenomenal. Great, wasn't it?
Now, Derek Jacobi said in one of these programmes, it was like a sort of Doctor Who, you know, best monsters or best baddies kind of thing from BBC Three. And he looked quite pained when he was asked, and he said, of course I'd love to do more, but they said they wanted somebody younger.
That's terrible. Mm.
And you actually look quite not... Oh, fuck, look at this. Wait, you see this? That's the base one.
But why is there not...
Who's he talking?
There's a jump there.
Mm.
Did you see that? He's still there again.
Yeah. Right, here we go.
So what happened there then?
Bit of a shit, isn't it?
Is that a jump in my DVD?
Here we go, Liz!
That's fucking cool. Yeah,
that is run, son! Run!
Beats the micro. Look at that.
Now,
that's
this is they use
it?
This in Age of Steel. The cyber ship Cyberman. When they say... When they go to break into the cyber factory, Lumix cyber factory, that there's three ways in, above, between, and below.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Yeah.
Do you not like that story?
No, it's a wrong story.
It's not a great story. That's a good bit.
That's all right. Sorry.
Sorry. Anyway, we didn't finish the discussion,
didn't
about
we?
About proper Doctor Who fans.
Yeah, but we could know each other for the next 30 years, and we'll never get to the bottom of this. So.
Well, but I think the thing is that. What I was trying to say is it's a terrible thing to view the world of people who are proper Doctor Who fans and people
I need to interject to actually talk about this.
Okay.
The bit where it says use whatever spare energy you can. It's a feature of these things, multi-doctor ones especially, they're always running out of energy.
Mm.
Except that the premise of the things like the Eye of Harmony and all that is that they, and the Time Lords being all powerful, is they have an unlimited amount of energy. Except when they don't.
Except when they don't.
The universe can't run out of energy, can it? Until the heat
But they have a trapped black hole, that the Eye of Harmony, that provides
that's
them
very
with,
painful.
With as much energy and more that they could possibly use.
There you go, yeah.
Hence, they're able to have time travel.
Sure.
Yeah. a bit more. This is what they get to do, stand a chance. It's cruelty.
They must have been awfully cold, these two, mustn't they?
Well, he's got a
But he is still shaking.
He looks like
him.
He's shaking. I never noticed that before. He looks like Touché Turtle as well.
It'd probably been some time since he'd been sex, so he was just he was getting withdrawal symptoms.
Thinking about some fag.
At least 45 minutes since he'd banged a fan.
Now, tell us about Patrick Troughton's sad demise, Jack.
Well,
come on.
So, Patrick Troughton.
He's not going to shoot. No, he's not dead.
So, Patrick Troughton passed away sadly at a convention in America.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Can I have some more details, please?
You might want to expand on that. He was expanding on something at the time.
well, yes, that is the rumour. I mean, Patrick Troughton did have.
But you haven't actually said. But
yeah, what is the rumour?
So let's have it.
Said. But I mean, it was a matter of record that he,
frankly,
he had an interesting private life. He had two families on the go.
But given the given what we know,
there you go. There's a square.
There's a square spring roll. I think it's actually now.
Is that not one of those wee Greek things?
He's a bit like Daniel Craig, doesn't he? Yeah. I've never noticed that before.
Not as bad as Daniel Craig though.
But knowing what we know now, to refer back to nobody know now about some BBC celebrities in the '70s and eighties.
God, yeah.
If it was discovered in a scandal,
it changes nothing. Absolutely nothing. This doesn't concern us.
Yeah. Probably put a plaque up on the television centre. We're fucking normal, look.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Doable barkers.
They're relatively blameless, this bunch, really. They were adults who got drunk and had sex with each other.
Here's, and that was the collection of various different sizes and shapes of Cybermen.
Yeah, there's a couple of quite chubby Cybermen, aren't
there? Oh, it's not for that reason that it's called the Death Zone. Who are you again?
Great heavens!
What is that?
And he suddenly goes all... He goes all narky here. I wonder what happened to the other!
I think Terence sticks to something really extraordinary in this, in that he writes the Doctors as almost caricatures of how they were originally. Because there's all sorts of, like, Jumping Joseph at and all that sort of stuff from Pertwee is not how Pertwee was.
Yeah, it's
but
of,
it feels like it.
He kind of writes Prawn Cocktail Impressions.
He does them. Write Prawn Cocktail.
It's like everybody thinks they say, play it against
us. Let's choose a between below.
And that's what makes Terence Sticks the perfect choice for this, because he's doing it off his memory, I think, of Doctor Who, rather than careful research.
It's handy that a place that's been abandoned for millions of years has got a couple of braziers firing away. Mr. Bennett's been round.
Hey, Mr. Bennett again.
Where's my big cooked matches?
But also the
I've lit all the candles in the murder room up at the Pancock Palace.
But also
getting out of the death zone.
But also the wider point is that there are
Jack's just taking this awfully seriously.
The number of routes into the death into the tower equals the number of doctors.
What?
We notice that?
How's that?
Above. There's three routes in and there are three doctors who head into.
Yeah, but there are five doctors. So it doesn't
in the,
In
the story.
Where's the fourth one go?
Goes to Gallifrey, doesn't it? Peter Davison. Goes to Gallifrey.
God. I don't think that means anything.
It does mean something because
I'm actually a bit embarrassed.
So actually in an earlier version when Tom Baker was going to be in this, there was an extra route.
Do you remember when
they've each got a route, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you remember when Rose called you
I love this when he
a fucking simpleton previously?
Oh, now, there's an awful lot of people appearing and things appearing and not being seen despite being clearly within aisle view.
Susan's just having a wee sort of wander about in the fresh air.
That's a fucking chunk of a Cyberman.
Beefy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Love David Banks. Fantastic actor. Captured them alive. And David Banks, who's playing the Cyberman there, went on to write a very, very detailed history of the Cyberman.
Did he? Was it good?
It was very, very
detailed. You've read it, haven't you?
I have read it.
Right, here's one of my
illustrations by Andrew Skilleter, who was the Doctor Who artist in the 1980s.
Here's one of the things that bothers me. Oh, there he's got his
thing.
Yeah.
He's got his big thing.
Hello.
Tissue. Davison's eyes.
Tissue compression eliminator.
Between pops up at the back there. Need any help?
Oh, the yo-yo.
I've got a yo-yo and a Mr. Microphone. It's Christmas after all. Uh,
What's the story about the celery again? Because again, my son tried to tell me a big long story about the celery to the radiation.
Yeah, that's right. It's revealed in his
that's
last
the first
story,
they noticed that
Caves of Androzani, that the celery will turn a different colour and a particular type of radiation. There we are. And then he eats the celery.
That's what I was told. Yeah. He's so, not got a head in that shot. Did you see that?
Oof. So how is your son picking up his Doctor Who facts? Is it from just watching it, or
that's not good enough? Is
No, that's perfectly fine.
Well, talking to me, trying to avoid you, and like lots of kids these days, he spends a lot of time on the iPad watching. And I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff on YouTube, really, isn't there?
Okay.
About, you know, facts about Doctor Who and people talking about things.
But he's going to the source material. He's not.
Yeah,
into
yeah.
Doctor Who reference works.
He's got all sorts of books and what have you. That's a good battle.
I think this is one of Bruce Davison's best performances.
Yeah, I think
he's
right.
Perhaps at his most
Doctor Who
in this story.
Here it comes.
Susan.
Oh, that's...
Oh, fantastic.
Shit.
Remember those boots? My mum had a pair of that.
Bad for running, then.
Aye.
Nice mark, though.
It is.
Here he is.
I like Peter Davison. Were we all Peter Davison fans?
I appear to be in a generic.
Yeah, I think Peter Davison was a very capable Doctor. He was good.
Yeah. Oh no,
Masters.
The last great Doctor of the first period.
I mean, I do have a soft spot for Colin.
I've got a soft spot for Colin.
Badly underrated.
Mm-hmm. But I think the programme is deteriorating so much then.
Hmm. Yeah, well, possibly. Although I love. Mark of the Ranian.
This has to be said. This is maybe where I have to confess that I did stop watching Doctor Who during the Sylvester McCoy period.
And that is what constitutes a proper Doctor Who palette.
Yeah.
Did you stick with it when it went shit?
Yeah. Did you?
And I was thinking about this
the
other day.
I saw some of them, but I wasn't watching. Of course, it was on a Tuesday night or something. Yeah.
No, because it repaid you occasionally. Because although you might have had to sit through the likes of Paradise Towers, although bits of Paradise Towers I'm very keen on. Not very much of it, and you had to sit through the Happiness Patrol, and that really was a fucking trial. That really was a trial of a Time Lord.
Do you mean that political satire about Margaret Thatcher?
Oh, gay fuck.
Yeah.
It was as much a political satire on sweeties.
What was it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Anyway,
Bertie Bassett.
Point I'm making is every now and again it would reward you for doing it because mm-hmm. there would be a Remembrance or a Fenric.
Yeah.
Fenric I've watched recently, it was on telly.
Fenric is a great story.
You didn't like it, do you?
No, I don't think
I love Fenric.
I don't think it sort of hangs together very well.
I think it might just...
There's some great bits
Well,
of
it. It goes a bit, it loses itself a bit in the end.
It does.
When there's soldiers and all that, because you begin to, who's on whose side, what the fuck?
Can I draw a connection between Fenric and this story, just very quickly?
Mm.
Which is they both feature shit games. In them, so in Fenric, it's a chess match, whereby the solution is that the white and black team up. How does that work in chess? And I think there's a couple examples in the Five Doctors.
Easy as pie.
And then also the zero sum game of he who wins shall lose and he who loses shall win.
Mm.
Doesn't really work as a game, is it?
It's not a game, that though, is it? It's a riddle.
It's a game of Rassilon.
It's a game of Rassilon. It's not the riddle of Rassilon, is it?
I'll tell you what, though. It's the fucking... It's the everything else of Rassilon.
It's the everything else of Rassilon. So, but I think this is one of the things that...
She's wearing the fanny pads of Rassilon.
People who would describe themselves as Doctor Who fans, I think, Phil, they earned that badge because they lived through the shit years.
Yeah.
And the dog's abuse.
Do you mean the David Tennant ones?
I wasn't meaning that, actually. I was thinking more of forcing the rest of my family to let me watch Time and the Rani episode 1 when they want to watch Coronation Street.
Yeah.
And you turn out of it and it's a lot of shit and you can feel their eyes sort of burning into your back.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Mm.
And that's
trying to defend Bonnie Langford's to them.
Trying to defend Bonnie Langford's to them.
See, I never liked Ace either.
This is really good.
Oh, no,
I know
Ace.
True fans like
Ace.
Boom! I don't like Ace.
No. Wicked. How can't you like Ace?
She's
wicked.
Really
I think by the time...
See, I was a bit older than you, though, so...
I didn't like Ace.
No, I liked Ace. And see, I think by... I didn't like her initially. At the time, unfortunately, it hits like Survival, which is too long a time, frankly, for some traction to build up. But by the time you get to Survival, the Ace and the Doctor are such a good pair.
It's a good story. And Helen Page is very good. Sorry? I think they're very good in that story.
It's a great story, Survival.
It is a great story. First of the modern stories, many people say.
I could see that. But they're such a good team. It's a real shame that they didn't get just even one more series.
So, Craig, where were you then when we were sitting there fucking watching Time and the Rani in Paradise Towers?
You were fucking and watching Time and the Rani. You had a better teenage years than me, I tell you that much.
And going into,
how did you manage?
Going into school and having to defend those monstrosities against
Others
of A-Team. And...
No, I mean, well, I wasn't probably doing that. I think you've got my mom's a bit older than you. So what... So, Sylvester was what, 87, 89?
87 to 89, yeah.
So I was 16 to 18 at that stage.
Did your son tell you that it was
18? He did, yeah. He said, Dad, I don't know if you know.
Another clean
run. You're right, though, because there's only
and
a few...
And I used to watch him on fucking Tiswas, so don't have a go at me.
There's a real difference there, isn't it? Because although we're not actually very different in age, but there's a big difference.
Yeah.
There's very little difference between being 40 and 43. There's a fucking big difference between 12
yeah.
and 15.
So you'd have been
14 and 17.
You'd have been 12 to 14 at that stage. What about you?
Yeah.
You're the same age as him.
So I was... 1987, I would have been 13, 14.
13, 14.
Yeah.
And Sebastian.
So I was 16 to 18.
Horrendous.
So I was doing my hires and, you know, reading T.S. Eliot and stuff like that. I was still, however, reading Doctor Who novels.
Oh, yeah.
So that was fun. Yeah.
As in, what, novelizations?
The older ones, yeah. The Target novelizations. Yeah.
But I remember when Remembrance came on, and I used to get slagged quite a lot at school for liking Doctor Who. Not in a bad way. It was friends who would say, I can't believe you like that show. And then Remembrance came on, and then everybody was like, fuck, that was brilliant. And they wanted to know all the history of the Daleks and all this kind of thing. They didn't thankfully ask about the history of the... why there's a lassie in a crash helmet.
It is.
That's some fucking arse, that boy's got.
Do we know who was in the Rastan Warrior robot?
I don't actually.
That's
it wasn't Colin Baker.
I guarantee there's a proper Doctor Who fan listening to this and say, "Oh, for fuck's sake, do you not know that?" Did he?
Could be. But the other thing that I realised about
can we have a button on that, please?
The other thing I realised about my Doctor Who watching is that actually my opinions of Doctor Who stories, obviously when I was young, I'd have certain opinions which would change. By the year of 1989, whatever I thought of that story is what I still think of it.
All right, okay.
So 1988, my view of season 25, Silver Nemesis, Happiness Patrol, is different to how I view it now. However, as soon as you get to 1989...
Why did you like it at the time?
Some of it, yeah. As soon as you get to 1989, I remember watching Battlefield and thinking, this is patronising shit that's been written by someone who thinks he's great and he's not. And all these years on, I'm still thinking exactly the same. So that was the year that I became... the adult person that I am now.
And kindly return to the Tyrannies, don't I? Fuck.
So I was trying to think about what I'd be watching between 87 to 89. And I suspect it would be things like
Virtual Murder,
Edge of Darkness, and stuff like that that was on the telly around that sort of period.
Virtual Murder? Did you watch that?
No, I didn't watch that, no. But I'm trying to think what was genre around that time. There wasn't really very much.
There was. Chimera, that would have been like that. Stephen Gallagher's Chimera.
That was a good program. I like that.
87.
From the dark time, look at that.
I think I've ended up.
This is forbidden knowledge, and it catches fire. Watch yourself.
But quite shit flame, don't you think?
Great sound effect over that, though.
Still burning away.
This is great, all this stuff where they set up Castellan.
It's like guy at the side.
Yeah, I was going to say that a minute ago. I like all that because it's quite an elaborate
It's a nicely framed, but I like the. I don't mean he's been nicely framed, but it's just
nicely been,
but there's a kind of fucking big white dash in a boy suit the side with a flame.
What would have been? What would have been brilliant in this is if they'd had Commander Maxwell, which they could have. Had Commander Maxwell.
They could have had.
Then we'd have had six options.
The actual guards' uniforms are very similar to the ones in Flash Gordon.
They are. Yeah, they're quite similar.
Oh, poor Castellan.
Poor bastard, he gets a raw deal, does Castellan. Yeah, he
doesn't fucking regenerate either.
No, that's true.
Got him a dullion.
And he got killed by one of those things that you used to put sealant around a back.
The mastic gun.
Yeah, a mastic gun. That's
now, this
one.
Story was originally meant to be written by Robert Holmes. And in his version of the story, the fourth Doctor was going to turn out to be an Auton.
That's true.
Ah, nice. Yeah. And Terence Stick's only got a couple of weeks to write this.
This is true. And I think in an earlier draft, actually, the big
Thanks
bad
for
guy...
confirming that for me, Jack.
Yeah, this is true. In an earlier draft...
Fuck, we've got a fan here. Otherwise, it would just be funny and enjoyable, this commentary.
The big bad guy was going to be the master. And then they realised that was just very obvious.
So yeah, it does benefit from not having the master as the baddie, doesn't it?
He's good. He does good breathing acting, Peter Davison, I think. Don't you think? He's very good at breathing.
I like the fact that Rassilon isn't the baddie.
Yeah.
And you're still left in two minds, should you care, about whether Rassilon is, as they say, good or cruel or whatever. Yeah.
He's pretty rum, isn't he, with his big cheeky moustache.
And he wants you to show him his ring.
He does.
And I like the way
he says, he looks evil there, doesn't
he? Oh, wow. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Look at that.
I like the way as well.
That's a bit of rotten acting.
When
he
says,
this is good.
Take the ring. It's like, I'm any minute now.
This is nice stuff. Where did they shoot all this?
Well,
Camber Sands.
It's where they shot the keep, isn't it?
There's also theory that that's a real Yeti rather than a Great Intelligence Yeti.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
I actually thought you were going to say there's a theory that's a real Yeti.
Also,
I was going to say, you know what, I don't want to be a fucking Doctor Who fan.
There's also a touch of the Norbity Dad about those
isn't there
yeah.
Wookie Hole.
Oh, is that what it is?
This isn't Wookie Hole.
It might be Wookie Hole though.
No, this isn't it.
No.
They did shoot a Doctor Who in Wookie Hole though.
Try to get it.
Revenge of the Cybermen was
get back.
Shot in Wookiee
BBC
Hall.
Security. Fuck's sake.
That's so many sheepskin coat. Yeah, at the Coliseum. Bill's got a pair of knickers.
Diaphragm. Yeah, this is quite brave acting, holding on to this fucker when he's going off.
Oh, so I like the way it sort of jumps like that.
Yep.
Great, nice bit of Yeti acting.
You've maddened it!
That's a galactic glitter. Unfortunately.
I don't know why it is in all of these things.
A glitter goes off in your hands.
It's fucking pan-cosmos beetles.
You've maddened
coming
it.
To get you. Yeah, it's a sad thing that permeates a lot of things, Doctor Who, especially in writing, is that alliteration...
Yeah,
things have to.
Galloping Galaxies.
Galaxies. There you go. That's what you were watching, Galloping Galaxies.
Yes, I may well have been watching.
What was the kids' TV program that you had to get? It was the guy that was Rosie, wasn't it?
Captain Zit.
Yeah, I used to watch that as well.
Yeah, that's good.
Space Detective.
Still watched it.
I was actually.
I like their space clipboards they had in Captain Zit.
Everyone needs a space clipboard.
87 or towards 89, Nightmare.
Yeah, not yes. I didn't watch Nightmare.
It was much later than Into the Labyrinth, which was a great program.
Into the Labyrinth was fantastic. Yeah, that was late '70s.
'81. Yeah, Pamela
Simons. Yeah,
she was there.
I watched Nightmare a lot. I loved Nightmare. Not the pickle years quite so much. I got fed up with it by then. But I remember the only one. I never saw anybody complete it.
No.
But I saw one get within one room.
Right.
Remember?
I saw someone complete
where there was a table and they had to pick up traveller. You had to pick up one thing and there was like money or a horn or a key.
Yeah. What's the rule of nightmare? Come on.
What?
Always pick up the thing that sounds like it's the least useful.
Quite. So you took the horn. Hey! Hey!
Hey, got the horn. Hey.
Went to the next room. And you could see the way out, and in front of it was a wall that said Jericho. And he had just, you couldn't go back, and he just to stand there with the wee fucking face, felt a bit in the eyeballs. Yeah, look. That was him.
There's another fat. Look at him, he can't get
look,
the
he
hill.
Can't even really walk very well.
Hugo Wyatt. Send the fat out.
I love the Rastamori robots.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
To be fair, you don't need to be on an arse and fucking robot, hit him.
No.
That's great, that, isn't
it? Yeah, it's good. How did they do that?
That's a lovely shot as well of sending the Doctor there.
Well, you could have sent a way to find that out. And Des Lynam's, how did they do that?
That's true, yeah.
Roughly about the same time.
Yeah.
Hello, Des here.
Hi, Doctor Who fans.
Doctor
Off
Who.
Work again.
Doctor what? That's what I say.
I can see his arm.
His arms
thing,
in
there,
yeah. Some good reaction work from Sarah Jane here.
The bit, though, where he chops the head off is a bit much.
Mm.
Doesn't fuck about there, Arson Warrior.
Yeah, I think that's a banker, mate. Here he goes.
There you go, one.
Bong. Bash.
You could have shot him by now.
Hooyah.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Ooh, take that.
I love the joke.
Yeah,
I like the way that one dies because he gets one in the forearm.
Yeah.
Yeah, how it got through the forearm.
Oh, and he's the
one. Yeah. That's the fat one. He's just drunk.
What? Touch of the aliens about that.
That's you. Now, come on.
Oh.
That, come on, my lovely. Now, what is this about?
Tell you what. This is his extra arrows. Where does he keep them, by the way? Is that why
they're also longer than his forearm?
Is that why he stands like that?
So to speak.
A wee bit crouched.
It's a nice display of metalwork. Oh, there you go.
See, that's a bit fucking much, that.
He has got quite an arse on him, hasn't
that's
he?
That's some pair of fucking... That's some pair of thighs, that. Bounce pound coins off that.
Okay, calm down. Calm yourself down. You're actually starting to get turned on by a wrestling warrior
superfluous
robot.
Stairs.
I just speak
no,
to
no,
the,
no, no, yeah. Superfluous stairs.
Superfluous
it's like Fawlty Towers.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice wee fountain there.
Nice shrubbery, look at that.
It does look like a contemporaneous shopping centre. Through the sock shop there. Up to the sweater shop. I will speak to the guy now. There'll be much to be learned from, however.
Down this way.
It's a wee bit Phantom Menace or that walk,
isn't
it?
Had Don't Wait Up finished by this time?
No,
I don't think it was even on.
I think it was even on, was it? I think Don't Wait Up was later, wasn't it?
Ran right through it. No, it did.
Oh, later than, yeah. I guess
we can find this
out
for.
No, this is 83. That's because we were talking about.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's after this. I've got confused with your CD.
Reverse FAQs.
What the fuck?
Perky's head's very thin. I hadn't noticed that before in this story.
That's a magnificent set here. What are you talking about?
No, no.
So you're sitting there like that, having a go at Perky's hair.
Yeah, I can do that.
No. Don't step backwards.
But do you really have the bell right in front of the door like that? What if you had to get like a wide load in there?
True.
That's good. That'll never work. You're right, because that rope's going to slip up over that rope.
Yeah.
This is all very Subterranean experiment, isn't it? This sort of landscape.
Yes, that's true. It is quite Subterranean.
Now we have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good.
He didn't throw that that hard.
It's a very good shot, but then we have the problem about the tension on
the rope. Yeah, that's a nice set, though.
Mm.
Everybody's all fucked up. No,
yeah,
see,
really
look at that.
You would just
be hanging about in the middle of that.
Yeah.
That's extremely
slack.
He's fat, but he's determined.
Ooh.
Oh, I didn't make it.
Liz Sladen was never very good at this particular type of acting.
It's not the first time he said this.
It's not the first time he's had his leg over there, right?
Now, what was the first commercial Doctor Who video you ever watched? Can you remember?
Commercial Doctor Who, but this...
Was it?
Yeah, until I actually bought this in 1992, that I'd never seen a video of Doctor Who before.
Mm, see, I remember a whole period in the 80s of not seeing the Diamond logo for years and years, and then... Yeah. We bought Revenge of the Cybermen when it came out at £9.99.
I think you'll find I had
phenomenal.
I had DVDs before they were invented of all
that's
the Doctor Who's. And in fact, it included episodes that were never fucking made because I'm a proper fan. I'm Jack. proper fan.
Watching
the Doctor
Who's. I'm not the one who's claiming the status of proper fans. A good status.
I'm still claiming it though, mate. Through here, would you believe that?
In fact, I'd gone back in time when I wrote this.
That's a very strange bomb.
Big, isn't it? He looks furtive when he says that to it. That's
fucking great, all this.
Yeah. Actually, you know, all the sets are brilliant, aren't they?
They are beautiful.
They're really big, and there's a lot of them. They really pushed the boat out on this.
It's a bit adventure game, this.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, no. I love this.
And the organs around the corner.
Yeah, this bit.
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
And the inspiration for
my
t-shirts.
T-shirts.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
I also...
Pitch and Toss, was that really a reference point that Cheek and Javanka would have?
I don't know.
Well, do Australians say Pitch and Toss?
I don't think so.
They probably call it something really unspeakable.
They probably call it Cunt and Tosser or something. Nothing happens until you reach the front row. None of this makes any sense.
No.
I particularly love the bit where he runs across utterly randomly.
Yeah.
And then Hurndle, having supposedly worked out, just fucking wanders across it. And then says, okay, now, now what? You could actually walk around the side of it, by the way.
You could actually, yeah. I've always thought that. You can just step over those wee bits that poke out.
I love the way he says this as well. The citizen of the Time Lords is at your mercy.
Yes, you had a very good Lord Jaw, didn't you?
Fucking great, Ainley.
He just looked like he was always enjoying himself.
Did.
Something that Jack doesn't believe people involved in Doctor Who should actually do.
That's totally missing the point.
It's totally missing the point. How much are we missing the point at this stage, Jack?
I don't need to defend my position.
So you could just sugar around that easily.
It's an empty room.
Right, so one... two.
So he's there now.
He's on the sixth row.
Okay. You will cross the far side very well.
He just walks over.
But he was on the... But he says he's
but
on...
the application. The application.
Look, random.
Well, that is a bit sus, isn't it? Don't you think? If you're a Cyberman, you'd be saying...
He's just
the way you
high on life.
Is
but the thing
sus.
Is, the Anders just said, you're perfectly safe until the fifth row, and then he goes and stands on the sixth row.
Yeah. Well, stop walking, you at the back.
Yeah, you'd think so.
I should point out, by the way,
stupid fat Cyberman.
It was actually me that was paid to do the noise for the Cyberman.
Was that you? Do it again. If only you listeners could be here to watch how he does that.
I'm spewing condensed milk.
It doesn't involve his mouth. That's the most remarkable thing.
Cyber leader.
I might have misled you a little.
With his little black bits on his...
Yeah. All the better for gripping you with my dear.
I like a Cyberman's gun.
Yeah. Mummy Alan's got a Cyberman gun.
Really?
Has he?
Yeah.
Is it a working one?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Not real
Billy? What? Stop this commentary
should
immediately.
Should be $300 quid.
Aye. I tell you that, stupid cyber fuck. And there it goes again. One more time, people.
No.
It's beautiful. It's a lovely thing.
Isn't that even a little ruthless, even for you? Except you've just killed all the enemies. That's fine.
Yeah.
He's come back again.
Just pick up a gun and shoot him. He's not actually doing anything to stop you from doing that. It's a great outfit, isn't it?
It is a beautiful outfit.
He's got a pair of Barrett shoes on, there, but the actual outfit's fantastic.
I think you'll find they're Bane and Duckett.
Very good. It's Pat. Oh, look, in the subtitle, they spell it.
Aye, they spell it the right way as well.
They do, yeah.
He's using Pat. As easy as pie. That's what he said. No, you've got to just talk along with it. It's so good.
Yeah.
Child.
Yeah, but how's that going to get me across there?
Yeah, you would actually be justified in saying, what are you fucking talking about? What has this got to do with anything? Why don't we just walk around it?
Absolutely. And by the way, you see if you could sell people two gin and tonics and three munchie packs and get change at €20. I'm an air stewardess. Don't fucking talk to me about mathematics.
I also like the way he says, you know, as you pointed out, Jack, the application then doesn't tell you what the application is. Because...
then he just walks over.
He just randomly walks. But then doesn't tell her. Now. What sums...
We don't see.
No.
Because she just walks around.
What's that ashtray used for there? Look.
It's for
nice, isn't it?
If you're having a wee smoke.
Mm. It looks like it's those big, like those sugar crystals.
Look at him. He's a well-kent face, isn't he?
He appears to have a hollowed-out snail on his head.
It does. I think they might well be Flash Gordon outfits.
It's quite Flash Gordon. Yeah.
They are a bit like it, but they're not quite like, we're not quite there.
You are something of an expert on Flash Gordon,
something
has to be said.
Expert. Stop!
Davidson's good.
What am I going to do now?
He's a nice looking man.
What am I going to do now?
And he was great in the...
All creatures great smalls in here somewhere.
He's got an open and friendly face.
He does.
I love this.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
The harp of Rassilon.
That is a lovely wee set, that though, isn't it? A lovely wee model.
I don't like the logo. I don't like that jaggy logo.
You know?
Nah. I think when you think how great the
that thing there.
Yeah, I don't like that. I when you think how great the seal of Rassilon is, you know, the eternity, whatever it is. that's just beautiful. Mm. And that's actually quite poor. Mm. It's all right, I suppose. Mm. It does the job.
So apart from the Fourth Doctor, what's the biggest omission, do we think, in terms of
what's the biggest omission of who should be in this?
Yeah. So I use the fact of Joe Grant.
It's a bit odd, isn't it? Yeah.
And even when they do this little bit coming up, it's not Joe Grant.
No, quite, yeah.
Well, apparently, now I was reading up about this, only on Wikipedia, the reason Fraser Hines is only in it here was he was, and I can understand how you're going to react to this, he couldn't fit it into his schedule.
He was on Emmerdale, wasn't he?
What, was it because he was in Emmerdale?
Aye. But Fraser, it's not a problem with tough today. I suspect you'd become quite quickly.
But in 1983, would it not have been Emmerdale Farm back then?
Yes, sure.
It would have been,
Emmerdale Farm. Oh, yes, it's Emmerdale Farm. Emmerdale Farm.
Some of my earliest memories. What years was Harry in?
Harry Sullivan?
Yeah.
1975.
Because some of my earlier memories of Doctor Who involves Harry being in it.
And he was referenced twice in the Zygon Invasion, Zygon Inversion.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these are weird. That should have been Joe, not Liz.
I love that. That's a classic BBC serial shot. That
it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Just a wee.
Everyone looking at each other.
Just panned across. Yeah,
fantastic.
I like the way she screams.
Oh, here we go. Now, here it comes. Here it comes. Yeah, I love this.
She's very scary.
Stop him!
It's a bit Sapphire and Steel, though.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? But because it's a film. Oh, it is you. It's quite crooked.
We'll just keep your eye on that right hand. It's edging down the way. Unbelievable! Utter cupping of side boob.
Here we are.
I love all these corridors. They're brilliant, aren't they?
That's for wee Donna, they are.
So any other omissions then? My vote was Joe Grant. Who would you like to see him and who wasn't? Because he does do a great job.
Morbius.
Turning stick, doesn't he? Morbius.
Yeah.
Omega.
He could just have his brain like sloshing Chameleon. Down the
I remember being slightly disappointed that Omega didn't turn up because I like the Three Doctors so much.
I was particularly... I've been bothered, especially in the Tennant years, where there's a couple of times that it seemed like they were on the verge of bringing back big baddies.
Mm-hmm.
And then didn't, like, for example, in Satan Pit and Impossible Planet, it kind of makes it obvious that it's building up towards Sutek.
Yeah.
And then they shit it.
They do, yeah.
And it's just the
even
beast.
The same actor.
Yeah.
Which is it's just fucking stupid. Imagine if they did Sutek. That would have been
good. I watched a good David Tennant one yesterday.
Which one was that?
Tooth and Claw.
Tooth and Claw is good, yeah.
Get back,
Doctor.
Nice.
He's busting out of that shot. Look at the size of him.
So, how do they remember?
Yeah, because
their minds were wiped.
Yeah, but he says that.
That's true.
Yeah, but Trouton says that.
Yeah.
Anyway, your minds were wiped when you were returned to your people. Smart ass. Sorry, which one of us is the problem?
That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
36
Yay! Chris is the winner.
Yeah, I've got another one that's so fucking wanky, I bet you've never noticed it.
One then.
A wee bit later on,
it's a matter of memory.
See,
so that
he's
in
just
this,
ignoring you now. Do you notice this?
I'm listening. He's
so
fuming.
In this is Troughton and obviously Pertwee and Davison, and then Sarah Jane's in it.
Yep.
Now, since Sarah Jane, there have been.
Do this.
Yeah, you're taking a long time to
get. No, because I've got to get
I've
it
got
right.
A
quite complicated.
I've got a rebuttal to get in with.
This is quite complicated. Mm-hmm. So since Sarah Jane, there have been there's been Tom.
Mm-hmm.
She never did, so to speak, their Pertwee, did she?
Who?
Sarah Jane.
She did.
That's right, because she's there with regeneration.
Yeah.
So Pertwee, Tom.
Yes.
Davison, Colin.
Yeah. Uh huh.
And Sly.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Now.
Yes.
At the end of school reunion.
Uh-huh.
Or at the... Eccleston. No, actually, near the start of school reunion. Yeah, there's Eccleston.
And began.
Right. And began. Yeah. Now, at the school reunion... No, we only find out there. Like, we're at school reunion. We haven't got to have a bit of continuity there. Smart ass. So, but in school reunion, she says, you've changed your face again. He says, yeah, a good half dozen times since the last time we met. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because since the last time they met, mm-hmm. she hasn't met...
Baker.
But she has, I mean, he has regenerated, but it's not a half dozen times.
No, it's not. It's yeah, you're right.
So, fuck you, RTD wow. and Tennant.
Terrible.
I think we've won.
So, with the Patrick Troughton moment just then,
yes.
The question that it flags up is, how does he know that their minds have been wiped?
Oh, he was
taken uh-huh. directly from Gallifrey to Earth.
No, so therefore,
This is the whole thesis behind Series 6B, which is after their mind was wiped and before they made him change into John Pertwee.
But I thought
they
in the war,
Mother Adventures.
I thought in the War Games, they say that they're going to wipe their memories and put them back with their own people.
Correct. They do say they're going to do that. So how does he know that? Because he's at the end of his regeneration when that happens. That's
but
just
they
before
say in front
he's,
of him,
he's
before
regenerated.
He regenerates. This is what's going to happen.
Right, okay,
that's the point.
Yeah, all right.
There you go.
So. Mine's still better than yours.
Yeah. Look at that hair on the left. That is magnificent.
Here he comes, little fellow.
You know, I don't know enough of the Troughton.
No?
I should watch more Troughton.
Yeah.
Because I really like them.
Fantastic. Great.
Yeah, and I read a lot of the books when I was younger, but I should go back and get some and watch them.
There's some lovely, that you'll see in a moment, conversational acting in the background where they're clearly not
saying
anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at good.
Because this is slightly weird, isn't it? Because that should have been the pairing in this story.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe that's quite clever on their part.
Well, it was because Tom Baker pulled out. They knew they wanted Liz Sladen,
mm-hmm.
so therefore they worked out, well, we'll have Liz Sladen with the third Doctor, so therefore the Brigadier ends up the second Doctor.
Do I get the impression the two of you don't like Liz Sladen much?
No, I think she's great.
I like Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
I don't particularly. I don't think there was very much to like about Liz Sladen. She seemed to have been quite a difficult person.
Well, there have been people said that she could be quite difficult.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, other people who said I have had one person who said they went to a sort of, you know, a night with Liz Sladen in the FAB cafe in Manchester and mm-hmm. said she was great, mm-hmm. but she was actually quite ill at the time. And maybe that had changed her a little bit. Everybody else I've had ever met said she was a bit of a struggle to get on with. That doesn't diminish her her work.
The best, ever companion Doctor.
And,
Sarah Jane Smith.
You think? No, I think
yeah,
Briggs. So you're wrong about that.
I don't think of him as companion.
But you'd be wrong about that as well.
Yeah, and what about that? What about the Doctor that was with that young lass that was the Doctor with David Tennant? She was amazing.
Martha.
An annoying family.
I still think the first series of the Sarah Jane Adventures is one of the best series made for television ever.
Wow.
Not in the sense that the series itself is particularly great, but because if you know, it's not like it grabbed you if you went into it. The point I'm making is for fulfilling its brief and for what it has to do, for everybody's performance in it, and for the writing and so forth, it's a perfect series almost for what it's meant to be.
Yeah, that's cool. Did I get the impression neither of you likes K-9?
No, I like K-9.
Oh,
I
love K-9. Yeah, absolutely. And I think School Reunion is one of the best of Tennant's.
Yeah.
The bit at the end where he's flying round at maximum defence mode is fucking immense. It's a great story. And of course, the problem with School Reunion was that it made you wonder why Anthony Head wasn't the master.
Yeah.
Yes, he's very good.
There's a great bit in it. A great bit.
Come
especially
on,
directing
the
rather
Sunday
than writing.
Times want to do a story.
Yeah, he's wonderful. It's when Elizabeth Sladen runs around the corner and sees when she's trying to escape.
Yeah,
she sees the TARDIS
and
the music cue and everything's absolutely brilliant.
And then she's insane. Oops, a skinny fucker that's just come out of it.
Yeah, isn't he Scottish?
You used to be fucking brilliant. You think that she came out, she's shocked. Oh, it's the TARDIS. And then he gets out and goes, oh, it's not
him. Here we are.
She's getting herself ready.
Come on, Doctor, you can do this.
Mop.
This is very good working out.
Don't stand there.
This is very good working out. Acting.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah,
yeah.
Very good. Yeah,
brilliantly done.
I remember being quite excited when you got made Doctor because I loved, because like every sane person who grew up in the 70s, I loved All Creatures Great and Small.
I remember when I was told
it's not a very good tune.
When I was told that he was going to be a Doctor, my mum picked me up from school and she said, "Oh, they're going to make the guy from All Creatures Great and Small the Doctor," and she couldn't remember who
Robert
it was.
Hardy?
And I thought it was Robert Hardy.
Carol Drinkwater.
It's the Master. Oh my God!
Speaking about people, my mum once met, well, not met, she saw John Pertwee while on holiday in Spain. And he was quite old by then. She said hello to him, and he just went, yeah, and walked past. And he was really, really rude, and she was very upset by this.
It's the Coronet of Rassilon.
Here we are, look.
Isn't it beautiful? Now, that actually came up for sale a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that before or after the Jimmy Savile auctions?
I nearly bought you something at the Jimmy Savile auctions. Oh, don't.
Tracksuit bottoms?
Silence.
They could have walked here on their own. Oh. No, it was the... Because we didn't know.
No, we didn't know. No. Do you think someone was very shrewd? Do you think someone thought there's a window of opportunity here to get rid of this stuff?
And I was going to bid on the one of the two through the keyhole keys that were up for sale. And they were going for expected to get about 120 quid. And I thought, well, I'll bid 100 and see if I could get it for that. But it was the wrong point in my pay cycle, so thankfully I didn't
fucking
bid, because they probably take down all your names now.
I have a photograph of me and Jimmy Savile taken when I walked the West Highland Way in the early 2000s.
Wow. But everybody, you would though go and get your picture taken,
of course,
wouldn't you?
I was really annoyed at the three guys I was walking with weren't up for it. I said, what's wrong with you, you're mental.
Oh, we didn't know then.
Yeah, wow. I didn't know.
Well,
it was great.
Sort of fucking hell.
Oh, yeah, but you know, anyway.
But
back
when somebody
to the...
says you might see that guy shags bodies and smoke mandible, you don't go, oh, that's a fucking fact.
Back to the Cornetto of Rassilon.
It just proves, though, you should believe every single thing you hear.
And then on the internet, particularly.
Yeah. Anyway. Here's this guy in a dark room with a crown on.
Talking to a flaxen-haired younger
Barusa's king for today.
This is a lovely bit of tech.
Here we go. Yeah, you know what he's done.
Get that
Calling the capital.
He's done it already, hasn't he? We just missed that.
Calling the capital.
I don't like this bit where he says, it's the doctor, and he looks and goes, well, one of them. You're like,
excellent.
Still like that, excellent. Takes a fucking long time to set off this bomb.
And then it does. Yeah.
And it's not
fuck
really
off.
That.
It's not great. Oh. I like the screensaver. Did you see that on the TARDIS?
Yeah, it's great. I like that console a lot.
Mm. Yeah.
I kind of prefer it to the sort of bells and whistles one they have.
It's beautiful.
Especially for sort of Tennant and Smith.
Yeah.
I quite like the one they've got now because it looks like it's actually something.
That was the last console they made for the Classic Series, that one. What's all the little scaffolding in the background there?
I think it's meant to be like power grids in the back or something.
They were making Fraggle Rock in the studio the week before. They forgot to tidy it away.
That's how they made the Doos of Daleks.
Fong McKay was approached to be the Doctor.
Yes, he was.
He?
Yeah.
When?
Fourth Doctor.
Yeah. And Janet Fielding was going to play Sprocket. She's still got the jacket on.
I liked Phil McKay. Would have been quite interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been.
Could we have a Muppet as the Doctor? We had Tennant, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
An old enemy to fight. He's kind of... the two of them are too good for that set. I hate to say that, because I do like these kind of sets. I especially like the kind of lighting and the flatness of the video.
Yeah.
Yes. I like all that. It's very redolent of the time.
They've kind of given up a wee bit, sort of two-thirds up, though, haven't they? It just fades into darkness.
But they've just run out of story.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm nowhere that's like, we've got to get to that, because that's the end. But there's just too much. And this mind control thing, I think, is really tacked on. While you're down there.
He's lucky you weren't in the room with him, I'll tell you that much.
Oh,
just pick up that model there, will you? It's hard to believe that you could stumble across that room, clicking away like.
Just through the think somebody would have got into the big Gallifreyan room and said, "It's actually quite small, this, isn't it? You feel like there's a corner there that's missing."
It's very early.
Just
80s.
Behind that harp.
That sort of lightning bolt Rassilon logo. It's actually very early 80s, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
calling the capital. Calling the capital. He just looks. That
yeah,
looks
see
so
this bit. Look, see this.
Beautiful.
Well, one of them, I don't like that.
What is it you don't like about that?
It's the bit where he just goes, "Well, one of them." I don't think he would say that. I think he'd just say it's the Doctor.
Yeah. It's not as bad as. I don't want to go.
Oh, God, I can get a fuck. See what I actually remember. I watched that episode in the karaoke booth of Del Monte in Glasgow because it was the only place, because I was going to meet my pal Alan to watch it, mm-hmm. but it was the only place that we could be guaranteed we wouldn't be. Nobody would bother us because you could seal it and whatever, and we could
just
watch it.
Why didn't you just go to a house?
No, because he was working.
Oh, I see, right.
And I wanted to watch it with him. And we couldn't do it in the office because people were coming in and out, so we just hired the karaoke booth. My son watched it.
We should say for the team to Monica's
it's a gay bar.
Being a gay bar in Glasgow.
So obviously it was full of Doctor Who fans who would want to talk all the way through it. Mm-hmm. And the bit at the end where he says, "I don't want to go," me and him and his other part, we just all shouted, "Oh, too fucking bad!"
Get going. Get the boy with the funny face in.
Why?
Be silent, all of you. I like that.
Mm.
Anyone who's got this far has passed a number of dangers and shown great courage and determination.
You see, it was a nice easy access trouser that Patrick trouted for the touted for the conferences.
I remember we watched Utopia at yours. We all nearly fucking hit the roof when you did the The Master.
I
But that wasn't the revelation. The revelation was when he pulled out the
watch.
Oh,
yeah. No, but I mean, that's when we were like,
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But when he actually says it and then kills that fucking
very
bug thing, Chandal.
This is great.
Yeah.
That scene, isn't it? It is a little mind.
Gets them into the wee barbershop quartet.
Doctors, yeah. Like he's smelling them.
You know what
he?
John's
smelling
think.
Them.
You know what John's thinking about?
I think Patrick Troughton would smell of those Odd Fellows sweets.
Do you think?
Yeah. Army and Navy sweets.
Yeah. Hundle looks like he'd smell like burnt milk.
Yeah. Apparently smells slightly of bums. I think.
Davidson smells like a fresh medal.
Yeah.
What's that smell of bums?
Slightly damp pants. Slightly wood grainy.
Jumping jack. Who's the bad?
A just tinge of sweetness about it.
An evil sweetness.
Yeah, but just in the heat of that studio, you could probably see it.
Yeah. You'd see him rocking it with that same old jacket on and thing. Oh, yeah.
Sure. To damp down per tweet.
Everybody fucking realising he's there.
Here comes Russell.
Here he goes.
With the convenient one space left.
He looks a much fatter man up there than he does lying on the slab.
And they've never had to, it seems they've never had
he's
to
great.
They've never had to dust anything. I like as well in the original version, I like it's just his voice, because in the sort of spunked up of it edition, uh-huh. especially, they put a sort of echo moves the voice of it. I like him.
Like he's talking through a hole as well. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah, you know, you can,
so
you can
mate,
see, no,
you, look,
you, can see his, you can see his shoulder.
Yeah.
Look, see, you can see his right shoulder.
What?
Well, you see his right hand shoulder. You can see the light cast on it, so it's not even like it's chroma key. The whole
look, there you go. See, he's actually just literally poking his head through.
No, he's not. It's enormous.
No, look, you can.
He's a big guy.
How fucking big do you think he is?
He's a big lad. He's poking his head through from next door. It's like a hatch into
he's
the kitchen.
Land
he's
in
probably
the
he's in the kitchen now. He's
in the kitchen
preparing the crudités,
making a giant omelette
for the birthday celebrations.
Jack's such a fan. He believes that giants exist to be in the fucking.
He's
program.
In there heating up our Finder's menu masters. The size
the
of
ring.
A fucking house.
20 candles on the cake.
I've got that ring out of.
Others have come and claimed immortality through the ages. He's great, this guy.
Got that out of Christmas cracker.
As it shall be given to you. Now this is great. This really freaked
like
me out
tongues.
At the time.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's nasty.
They look a bit creepy.
Look at that guy.
Yeah, that's
a little trapped schoolmaster.
There's his place. Look.
There's his place. There.
Wow.
It's a really simple effect, but it works. It works.
Yeah, it's really creepy. I love that.
And it's a genuinely horrible idea.
Yeah, but you're right. He doesn't look that hefty lying there.
Right.
He's always another man standing up.
Oh, what's going on?
And I like all the sound mixing.
Yeah, look. Whoa, back again.
That's you.
Same done.
Oh, look, we've all won. Oh, she's lost her neck, you know, tie thing.
Yeah.
Do you claim immortality?
I like this bit.
No, you're all right.
Hey, that's nice.
He can get back to his disco now, can't he? Rattle on.
I've got to go back.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, the phone's gone.
I never thought it.
I don't want immortality. No, you're all right.
Oh, there he
goes.
The fourth Doctor's back.
No, look, he's beside the car park.
Yeah. In a different costume. Explain that, eh? Explain that.
You can tell that's the car park next to the television centre,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
The sins will find the punishment in due time. I love that voice that he has.
It's great. Yeah. It's nice set of teeth as well.
I like when he says, farewell.
Back to, yeah. He's got a touch of Tregar's around him, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You have chosen wisely, Doctor. A line nicked by Indiana Jones and his dad.
Yeah. This is true.
Indiana Jones and his dad.
Now, do we think it's right
why did they miss that?
Do we think it's right that it's the first Doctor?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What?
That it's the first Doctor who works us out.
But they've already, this is what I was saying earlier, if you paid any attention, that they've already set up in Three Doctors that he's somehow the wisest
it's
of
weird,
them.
Yeah. It works well, though, somehow. It does feel apposite that it would be the first Doctor.
Well, yeah.
Do you know that Mr. Hundell died about 5 months after they made this?
Really? Oh, sad loss.
He was pretty old when he did
You really
this.
Don't like him, do you?
I just can't be arsed. I don't dislike him, I just can't be arsed him. Why is he not Geoffrey Belden? Get fuck. Hundell, fuck off.
Why is he not Reese Shearsmith? What's wrong with these people?
That was, you know, that's
so
what it is, isn't it? Adventure in Time and Space,
which is
great. Amazing. And
Space and Time.
Space and Time. And is incredibly kind to William Hartnell.
Great performance. Isn't it?
A great performance. It's all great, except for Reese Shearsmith.
Yeah.
Who really gets it badly.
The other thing that Space and Time proves, though, is that how younger people were a lot older than.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Time to go big there.
Which, of course, is what we were saying before we did this, which is that Capaldi is of an age that Hartnell was when he was the Doctor.
Mm-hmm. He's the Briggs Grey Line.
Oh, yes.
Another great line.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Explain the chips.
He plays it brilliantly as well, doesn't he?
All of you.
Great, isn't it? He does it.
What a pro.
That's
what
a proper
guy.
Actor. Goodbye, my dear chap. And another last cup of tea with Miss Austin and Seth. That sounds like my Michael Parker.
Off to Cunnath. Off to Cunnath for a slice of cake and a cup of tea. Oh, Barnsley, rugby. Oh, hey.
These last lines are phenomenal.
Yeah, they're great.
So evocative.
They are.
So evocative.
And of course,
they touch
finishes,
upon the history without ever being heavy handed.
Yeah. And finishes on
not great.
But finishes
drag
on, of course, I think almost the most iconic line of the entire old series.
I'd go with that.
I think it probably is,
and a lot better than I Don't Want to Go.
Yeah, shitty paint shop effect there, but
she comes.
Here she goes,
That's some pair of pair of shoulder pads you're wearing, then.
It's the Colbys.
And a lot of shoulder
pads.
Look at these boys.
Where are they?
Well, she just gave them a wee sign to say,
up
there.
Up there.
That's you. Up the road.
Right. Neil.
Go and stand and look at that thing in the corner.
Keep an eye on that.
Well, look at that over there.
Yeah.
It's got a funny shaped nose, that fella in the background. Look at that.
Well, that's a conk, isn't
it? It is, isn't it? It's a ski slope.
This is just fantastic.
Yeah. I am Lord President, am I not?
Yeah, he's good in that, isn't he?
You will obey my commands! Characters. Oh, that old ploy.
Yeah.
When they brought the series back, I seem to
good breathing acting. Sorry, carry on.
There was a piece of music that Murray Gold wrote. You know the bit of music that's the sort of mystical one that's like, that's called the Flavia theme.
Is it?
Because he imagined, I think it was meant to be, that he imagined that's the sort of music that this Chancellor Flavia would have had.
Nice.
And was Chancellor Flavia in those ones? I can never remember.
This Shazam.
Which one?
Story?
When they came back?
No.
Not Dinah Sheridan, obviously.
No,
because there were
no
time
lords. No, they don't have that.
Well, you do. You had Timothy Dalton.
No, she's not.
No. Right, no, I mean, it was set up so that, you know, Eccleston 10, right up until that, but there were no time lords. That was the whole point, remember?
Yeah.
Here we go. We're about to encapsulate
but
the
weren't.
Magic of Doctor Who in just a couple of lines.
What?
Not me.
Here. Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Phenomenal. You're not going back. Here we are. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember this.
Yeah. Furious. There we are. Look at this.
Oh, well.
In a racketeer. Great shot. Look, why not?
His delivery is lovely as well, isn't it? Because he's like a kid getting off again.
I love the fact much that William Hartnell gets a credit as well.
Yeah, well, he appeared at the start of it.
And they do a magic mix of the themes here as well.
They do.
Well, I particularly like the... it's sort of it chimes with the end of Day of the Doctor.
Yes.
When they have the faces appear.
They do, yeah.
One at a time.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Everything about Day of the Doctor is great.
Day of the Doctor is fantastic. John Although Scott
I'm,
Martin,
I'm much... oh, there you go. I was right.
Yeah.
What?
Keith
Hodiak played the Rustin robot.
He sounds like a good guy. We'll look him up.
Rustin robot. Google Images. I'm much kinder to Day of the Doctor in retrospect than I was at the time. Although I loved watching it at the time. But I loved the iconic moments. That I wasn't sure when we left it if I particularly liked the sort of Queen Elizabeth Zygon thing very much.
Uh-huh.
But on repeat watching, I like it a lot.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Was Eric Seward the script editor there, did I notice?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
That'll be why there's fucking Cybermen everywhere.
Love the Cybermen. That's that.
So there we are.
There we
the Five Doctors.
The Five Doctors.
I mean, there are other stories that I've enjoyed as much, I think. Mm. And there are other, you know, but not so many in the new series, although some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mentioned School Reunion. I love the Family of Blood.
Yes.
The whole part,
Human Nature.
Which is Human Nature, which is Tennant's best. Probably because he doesn't play the Doctor in most of it.
He's brilliant in that.
Yeah, he is great, but he doesn't play the Doctor in most of it.
He's a good actor. His best Doctor Who performance is Day of the Doctor, I would argue.
Yeah, Day of the Doctor is immense.
He's brilliant in that. Tennant.
And what do you call it?
Come on, Chris, you can do this.
The Doctor Dances double.
Into Child and Doctor Dances,
which is amazing.
Yeah, phenomenal story.
But I'm not sure any of them I find as iconic as that, but is the Five Doctors, but is that because of when I watched it?
Possibly. What is interesting watching it again is that it gives the lie to the idea that they were really old and creaky and slow moving then.
Mm.
It actually goes like a train.
It does.
It's fantastic, but there's a lot of atmosphere in it, and
it's
like
quite a feature film structure as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I particularly resent the complaints, the really fucking lazy, grade-esque complaints about the quality of special effects in... Doctor Who, because the same assholes who make complaints about that are the same people who would also complain about things like Phantom Menace, and they would say, well, special effects aren't everything, what matters is the story.
Mm.
Well, you can't have it both fucking ways.
No.
There's actually a lot of the stories with the shonky special effects, you know, the best as they could do, are great stories.
Mm-hmm.
If they're good enough stories, you don't actually care. And I hate it when people just dismiss it because and Grade always did that thing, it looked terrible. And they always, always compare it with Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say Empire Strikes Back was a Return of the Jedi. It's like you're comparing it with the biggest films made in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be so fucking stupid.
And
Michael Grade. You were funding it. It was your programme.
That's true.
As
Stephen Moffat says, and I think he's right to point this out, they used to shoot Doctor Who in the same way that they used to shoot sitcoms.
Yeah.
Multi-camera studio.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's that whole thing, you know, like the BBC. I know this is a bit of a Grade rant, but I don't have a, you know, there are any number of BBC managers at the time who were guilty of it, who would complain and say, you know, I just thought it was terrible and it was time to get rid of it. It's like, well, what, instead of actually sitting down and working out how to make it better, which is your fucking job.
It's true.
I should point out we're just now watching the DVD chapter heading.
Yeah, the wee chapter heading.
Well, I wanted to ask just a question, which is, from the classic series, what would you say is the most Doctor Who story? Is there one where you think, oh, that's...
But there's so many different cozy Doctor Whos.
Because from, yeah.
Wait, Ben, what
respect? I think the great thing about
the
Five Doctors is you watch that and it encapsulates Doctor Who, doesn't it?
The demons.
When you watch, that's what they do, it's so brilliant.
I was watching that there.
The demons.
For me...
possibly Caves of Androzan.
Probably Talons of Wing Chang.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd say...
Or Horror of Fang Rock.
Yeah.
No, I like Fang Rock.
See, Talons of Wing Chang, I think, is my favourite Doctor Who story.
Mm.
The one that, to me, that feels the most Doctor Who is Carnival of the Monsters.
Oh, right, yeah, it's good.
I can see that.
It's funny, though, you said that about the demons, because when I was watching it earlier today, I just watched the first episode.
Uh-huh.
The opening scene of it with the lightning, with the church, and the very English village, all that I absolutely love. And they went back a little bit into that. I'll film the Llandaff and outside Cardiff, but with the Matt Smith era,
Yeah,
it was all fun. The Karen Gillan's character stayed. Can't remember her name now.
Amy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was all very like that, and I liked that because it felt very familiar.
I like the demons a lot because it does the thing we always say about, you know, the mundane, the unusual, and the mundane. And the Lloyd Tootin Bennett.
Which is an amazing thing for John Pertwee to have said.
Yes, yeah, strange.
That's such a wonderful distillation.
Yeah, he must have got some.
I think someone else said that. Yeah, do you think Terence Dicks wrote that for him?
But I certainly feel whenever they touch upon those sorts of things, do you know why I love them so much? Because that's how it all started.
What's the name of the guy you interviewed for the podcast in Edinburgh? Who was
Keith Miller?
I bet you Keith Miller said something like that to him.
He probably did. Yeah. And then John Pertwee.
Hats off to you, Keith.
And then John Pertwee complained about him featuring past doctors in his fanzine.
That's the other that bad of it.
What?
This is the world you're living in.
But the demons has particularly because it has Delgado's speech.
Yes, it does. Yeah, phenomenal
which is
speech.
Unbelievably good.
Yeah.
And don't deny it.
Yes, and also when you watch that and you realise what he's doing, he's talking about people having affairs and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and extortion and robbery and things.
Yeah, feels
which
very
is
adult.
Written by
very small town stuff.
That episode, it's kind
the
of
the demons
by,
was written by.
It's kind of really written by Barry Letts.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Under the name Guy Leopold.
You thought you were gay.
Of course, I knew he knew it.
Right. I think we've run on long enough. So, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Happy times and places.
Get fucked.